Our scripture reading this morning is from John's Gospel, chapter 14, verses 1 to 7. Thomas was my dad's name. I have a nephew named Thomas. I think I should have been named Thomas, though. I can really relate to Thomas. Remember the first few times reading through scripture, and before he would ask the question, before I would get far enough to see what Thomas said, I was right there with him. This morning we have that. Essentially, he says, I don't get it. I don't get it either. But we really all should be thankful for Thomas's honesty, because Christ's answers to his questions, especially in the verses these mornings, they provoke some of the most profound words that come from the lips of our Lord. Gospel of John, chapter 14, starting with verse 1. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him.
So prayer is a strange thing. It's universal. I know atheists who pray. But nobody really gets it. We're all Thomases to one degree or another. And as we are embarking as a church on a year of prayer, a year of learning to pray, one of the things we're doing is we're pausing in our series in the Gospel of Mark. We'll come back to Mark, Lord willing, in the new year. And we're going to take the next 8 Sundays from now to the beginning of Advent to go very slowly through the Lord's Prayer. So slowly that we're not getting to any of the actual things you pray for this morning. It's just our Father in heaven. That's the whole part of the prayer that we're covering. And we're going slowly and we're doing this because prayer is such a strange thing, and we may not want to admit it for general public knowledge, but many of us struggle with prayer. How do you pray? How do you talk to someone you cannot see, who already knows everything you're going to say, whose will is perfect and can't be improved by your prayers, and who surely has better things to do than listen to you? And for that matter, why do you pray? What's the purpose? Does God have a bad plan? And then you pray for something, and he goes, oh, I never thought of that. I'll change my plan to be more like yours. No, the more we stop and think about prayer, the stranger and more confusing it gets. And the more we wonder, how do we pray? And why do we pray? And my contention this morning is that the answer to both of those questions, to the how and why of prayer, are in the first line of the prayer that Jesus gives to his people. He says, pray then like this, our Father in heaven. And in those 4 words, we see that how do we pray? We pray as the children of God. And why do we pray? We pray to grow as the children of God. So we pray as the children of God to grow as the children of God. That's where we're going. So first we'll talk about the how, about praying as the children of God, and then we'll talk about the why. We pray to grow as the children of God. So, how do we pray? We pray as the children of God. The first thing to notice in the Lord's Prayer is that it's addressed to Dad. It's not addressed to God Almighty. It's not addressed to the majestic and awesome one, or even to very specifically biblical names for God. It's not addressed to the Holy One of Israel. It's not addressed to Yahweh. It's addressed to our Father. to Dad. And if we are calling him Father, then we are his children. My kids call me Dad. You don't. Please don't start. Kids call their dad, Dad. And what we need to see here is that this is not a general birthright of humankind, but the privilege of speaking to God as children, of calling God Father, is a gospel privilege won for us by Jesus. It is in Jesus that we get to call God Father, that we get to pray as children. The normal state of a human being, because of sin, is like a criminal hiding in a non-extradition country. We sin against God, we rebel against God, we say, you know what, I get that you're all-powerful and all-knowing, but I have a better way of living. I'm going to do things my way. And we commit a crime against the king. And we have to run and hide in Venezuela or somewhere else that won't extradite us back to God's kingdom, where we would have to pay for our crimes. That's the condition of a sinful human being. We are estranged from God. Our choices, our decisions, our failures, our sins have separated us. And so on our own, we cannot call God Father. On our own, we have to keep distant from God. For if we came near to him, we would have to be judged for what we have done. And God, in his marvelous grace, rather than leaving us in Venezuela or coming and plucking us out and bringing us back and forcing us to stand trial and pay for each and every one of our rebellions, instead sends his son Jesus to die in our place, to pay for all of our crimes so that we are free to return home without fear of judgment, without fear of penalty. And even more than that, in Jesus' death, the Holy Spirit of God is poured out on us so that we return home not just with a blank slate to earn our way as citizens of our home country, but we return home as the adopted sons and daughters of God, filled with his Spirit, marked as part of his family. And so we get to pray, "Our Father." Because of what Jesus Christ has done in dealing with our sin, we get to pray as the children of God. Not as people who have to prove our worth or earn God's favor or work hard and pay our taxes and stay within the law, but as children to a father. In Christ, God is our dad. And we get to pray to him that way. And so what does that look like concretely? I mean, that sounds beautiful. That sounds wonderful, because it is beautiful and it is wonderful. But how does one actually pray as a child? And you could take this fatherhood of God and answer this question in 1,000 ways. I want to cover briefly 4 this morning. But feel free to take the metaphor of God as Father and run with it. And before we get into the details of this, let's acknowledge that for many of us, picturing God as Father is a hard thing to do, because we immediately think of our own fathers and go, okay, how do I pray to God as my Father? Well, I don't tell him what I'm really thinking because I don't want to get in trouble. I make sure I have all of my chores done, right? This can go very not well. It can be a lot more serious than that. The image of God as Father can evoke a man who beat us when we were younger. But this is one of the reasons that Jesus tells us, don't pray to your Father, but to our Father in heaven. Because we speak not of your dad, but all-powerful. We speak of the true and perfect Father. We speak of fathers as they are meant to be, not sadly as they are. So how does one pray to a perfect and loving Father? Well, like I said, four ways briefly. One prays securely, intimately, boldly, and together. Securely, intimately, boldly, and together. So, when we pray as children, we are praying securely. Your status as a child is rock solid. It's secure. You can lose citizenship in a nation. You can lose enrollment in a school. I know, I almost flunked out of college. You can lose your job. You can lose friends. You can lose a spouse. You cannot stop being your parents' child. I mean, you could get legally emancipated from them, but sorry, you're still your parents' child. You are God's child. And there is nothing you can do that would cause him to turn his back on you, to stop being your father. It cannot be done. My children, every single one of them has defecated on me. Without fail, four for four. They're all my kids still. They cannot stop being my children. And so they speak to me in the absolute security of knowing that's Dad. There's nothing that can change that. We pray as children, and we pray with the absolute assurance that in Jesus, our status as God's little girls and little boys is secure. How do we pray? We pray as children, which means we pray securely. And that security leads into the second way that we pray as children. As children, we pray intimately, knowing that no matter what God finds out about us, no matter what we do, gives us the foundation for being completely and totally honest with God. All of us desire a relationship like this. A friend or a sibling or a spouse or a parent or anyone whom we can know absolutely will love us after we finish telling them what we're about to tell them. We need that security because it sets us free to speak of what's actually going on in our hearts. And so we can, because we can pray as children securely, we can pray as children intimately. We don't need to hold anything back. If you go and just read through the prayers in the Bible, mostly in the book of Psalms, you will not find polite prayers. You will find worship and exaltation. You will find rage. You will find angst. You will find confusion. You will find despair. Because the children of God have always felt free to pray intimately to their Father, to talk to Him about whatever's going on, in whatever mood they happen to be. They can lay it all out there. They have that security that allows them to pray intimately. So as children of God, we pray securely, we pray intimately, we pray boldly. The word our in our Father is possessive. It denotes a claim on God. This used to really bother me. It bothered me when people referred to my God. You own Him? What is that? But in Christ, we actually do have a claim on God. My son gets this intuitively because he's always telling me what I have to do for him. He's five. Like, Daddy, you promised that after dinner we would sword fight. You have to sword fight with me. And you know what? He gets to do that. As my son, he has a real claim on me. And in Jesus, as God's sons and daughters, we have a real claim on him. And so we can say, God, you promised. You said you would do this. We can be really bold in coming to him. Now, God's not a vending machine, and you don't just get to claim whatever you feel like because your claim is in Christ. So this isn't you get whatever you want. I mean, sometimes Liam is like, you have to give me dessert. Nope. Right? So this isn't anything you ask for, it's going to come true no matter what. But we do have a real claim on God as his children for his attention, for his love and care, for his provision. A couple weeks ago, it was rest time, and my little Lucy, who's 3, was taking her nap, and I was sitting in the living room reading on the couch, and she wakes up from her nap, and she toddles out down the hallway, and she climbs up and sits in my lap and puts her head on my chest while I'm reading. And she just lays there for a few minutes, this really sweet moment. And then she goes, "Daddy, you need to put your book down so I can merp you." In Lucy language, merp is take your finger and just push it gently on the end of the other person's nose. And she's really into merping. I don't know. But she understands intuitively, like, I'm sure you like that book, but I'm your little girl. And I will be needing all of your attention right now. I don't want to share it. We have that kind of claim on our Father. In Jesus, we get to pray boldly. So as children of God, we pray securely, we pray intimately, we pray boldly, and we pray together. You'll notice, in addition to being possessive, the word our is plural. Jesus assumes a community of people praying together. That having the same Father, we are brothers and sisters. And so prayer is not primarily an individual activity. Jesus is not against individual and private prayer. He has no problem with individual and private prayer. He's very much for you praying on your own. But it never even crosses his mind that you could possibly only pray on your own. He just flat assumes that we will be a people who pray together, who pray for one another. In the Bible, it's always an us. It's always a group of people who have the same secure foundation of being children of God. And so just like I can't get God to stop being my Father, I can't get you guys to stop being my brothers and sisters. We bear the family name, whether we like it or not. And so we are together. So how do we pray? We pray as children of God because Jesus won us that privilege. And so we are free to speak not to our great King, far, far off on your throne passing judgment, but to our Father, to our Dad, to pray securely, intimately, and boldly, and together. So if that's the rough outline of how we go about praying, we still haven't dealt with the why would you do it in the first place? I mean, what's the real point here? You know, we just said, like, your status is absolutely secure. If nothing can change it, then it follows logically that prayer also cannot change it. So what's the point here? And what the point is, and this is, I have to show you this slowly in the text because it's a little more subtle. The point is that we pray to grow as the children of God. The purpose of prayer is growing as the children of God. This is important because we get this wrong all the time. And Jesus knows that. That's why he prefaces the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6 with things that are not the purpose of prayer. So if you look back at that reading of the law at Matthew 6, 5, 6, 7, and 8, we see two things that are definitely not the purpose of prayer. We see that the purpose of prayer is not to seem like God's children. So he says, and when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand in the synagogues and at the street corners and pray in order that their prayers may be heard by others. You must not be like that. The point is not looking good. And I'll say, one of the many things that I love about Calvin is that I don't think we have a lot of people praying for show. We're not beset with this kind of religious hypocrisy. I do think we are still aware of how prayer makes us look. And that is one of the reasons we are often so hesitant to pray together, to pray aloud in front of one another, and to admit to one another what we really need prayer for. Because we are aware of how we will look if we do. And it's important to understand that that's not the point of prayer. The point of prayer is not looking good, looking like God's children, and the point of prayer is not avoid looking bad. So don't admit how messed up you are, or don't pray out loud and let everybody see how little practice you've had at it. Prayer has nothing to do with seeming like God's children. The second thing that Jesus says is not the purpose of prayer. The purpose of prayer is not getting stuff from Dad. So he talks about don't pray like the hypocrites, and then he says, and when you pray, don't heap up empty phrases like the Gentiles, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them. The Gentiles referred to the nations around Israel who had a very kind of formulaic and manipulative way of praying, where you brought a big enough present to the temple, and you stayed long enough, and you prayed aloud for long enough, and then whichever God you happened to be praying to would kind of owe you. You know, if you had prayed for the ship with all of your goods on it to make it safely to the place where you were trading, then Poseidon, the god of the sea, would owe you a safe trip. That was their philosophy of prayer. We don't pray in order to get things from God. This is really important. The fundamental purpose of prayer is not for healing from that specific disease. The fundamental purpose of prayer is not for reconciliation with that estranged child. And the fundamental purpose of prayer is not for you to receive specific directions from God about what to do next. Now, all of those things can happen. All of those things might be good. All of those things may be results of prayer, and sometimes are. But they are not the fundamental purpose. This is very important to understand, because otherwise we will judge our prayers and the God who hears them based on the specific results. And our faith will be not in God, but in whether or not that disease was cured. Not in God, but in whether or not he spoke to us and told us what to do about that conflict with our boss. Now, God may heal the disease, and he may speak to you, but that's not the fundamental point. Prayer is not about getting stuff from Dad. The fundamental point of prayer is growing as children of God. The purpose of prayer is to participate in the family of God. So we pray, Our Father in heaven. In heaven. And now stick with me for a minute, because I have to build this from the ground up. Heaven, in the Bible, is not on the other side of the clouds. It is not an alternate physical location. Heaven is the dimension of creation in which God fully reigns as king and fully loves as father. Heaven is the dimension of creation in which God fully reigns as king and fully loves as father. And so Jesus can say things to people who are obviously on earth, like, the kingdom of God is in your midst. Or he can say things like, from now on you do see the Father and you do know him, even though we're clearly on earth. But in some mystical way, heaven has intersected with earth, and we are participating in the life of God. And so when we pray, Our Father in heaven, the New Testament is clear, and you can particularly see this if you go and read the book of Hebrews, that we are actually approaching God in heaven. In our prayers, we are coming before God in heaven. We are stepping further into the life of God. And this really is mystical. I can't diagram it for you. It goes beyond logic. It's not counter to logic, but it is more than logical. So if you're trying to wrap your brain completely around what I'm saying, stop. You'll just make yourself dizzy. In prayer, we actually come in some mystical way into heaven. Or you might say, heaven comes in some mystical way into us. So when we pray, Our Father in heaven, we are actually stepping into heaven where God lives and reigns so that we might speak with him. And you're all looking at me like you're lost, and that's okay. It really is a mystery. But it is no less true for being a mystery. So what this means is that prayer is its own reward. The purpose of prayer is to participate in the life of God, to grow as the children of God. And prayer causes us to participate in the life of God, to step into heaven, to grow as the children of God. So the prayer is not something that leads to something else. It is a means and an end. Prayer is its own reward. Prayer moves us gradually into heaven. Now, confused as we are, this is incredibly encouraging. Because we are not naturally used to heaven. Heaven is foreign country to us. We are much used to living without God's full reign and full love as Father. And so, the fact that you find prayer really awkward, that you find it uncomfortable, that you find yourself wondering, what am I doing? What's happening here? Is actually a sign that you have gone a little ways down the right road. If you prayed and immediately upon starting to pray thought, oh, this is great, I'm good to go, I'm casual, that would indicate that you're totally comfortable where you are, which just is not true for people entering into unfamiliar places and unfamiliar circumstances. We are God's adopted children. So imagine, I have friends who've done this, imagine adopting a child into your family who's already older, 8, 10, 13 years old, bringing them into your family. No matter what you do, they are going to be uncomfortable at first. Even if they already speak English, they don't really understand the family language. They don't understand the family customs and culture and expectation. It's awkward. And as we pray, we are entering into, participating in the life of the divine family. We are being adopted into God's family. We are slowly going from being Washburns and Millers and Rungs and Schultzes and Stones to being Christians, to bearing the family name of Jesus Christ. And of course, at first, it's awkward. It's uncomfortable. You don't really know what's going on. So if you find yourself there, be encouraged. That is an excellent sign that you really have been adopted into God's family. And that as you seek to pray and go, I don't know. Where do they put the forks? This is where the forks were in my old house, in my old family. I don't know where they go here. That's a sign that you're transitioning into the family where you really belong and where you will be forever and where you will not always be a stranger, where you will not always feel uncomfortable. But slowly, over time, as the days go by, as the weeks and months and years pass, you will be a child of God, not just in name, but in truth. Slowly over time, participating in the glorious life of God will not feel like clothes that you pull on that don't quite fit, but just part of who you are. Like wearing your own skin. That is what prayer is for. It is for moving from the family that you were born into biologically into the family of God, into being one of the many younger brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ, into being one of the many sons and daughters of God, our perfect Father, into being one of the many people filled with the Holy Spirit. And that is the purpose of prayer. We pray as children of God. How do we pray? We pray based on the status as children that Jesus has won for us. And we pray to grow as children of God. We pray because while we have been adopted and our status is absolutely secure, we are so eager to participate in and grow into the life of this new and perfect family. We pray as children. We pray to grow as children. And in praying that way, for that reason, we find that prayer is our own reward. We are less and less praying to get other things, praying to look good, and more praying because we can. Because it is wonderful to sit with a family that loves you and share in that love. It's what we were made for. On the basis of that, we pray, and to grow deeper into that, we pray. And so now, let us pray as children, to grow as children. Father, I pray that we would never again pray to you as Father without pausing and wondering at that privilege. We don't deserve it on our own. We're traitors and exiles. And yet in your Son, Jesus, you have won us our freedom and have adopted us into your family. Thank you. Help us to remember, Father. Help us every time we pray to preach the good news of Jesus to ourselves by calling you Father. Help us to trust completely in our status as your children, to come before you boldly and intimately, to come before you together. We pray that each time we do, we would grow a little deeper into the reality of being your children. We would grow a little more comfortable and a little more joyous at being a part of your family. You made us in your image to be your children. It's what we exist for. It's what we long for. Please bring it about. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who makes it possible for us to pray as children and leads us every day as we grow as children. Amen.